Hello to another episode of Open Science Radio. Today is the 13th of August 2018. We have episode 128 and we have today a special guest. It's Chris Erdmann. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
And with us, as always, Matthias. Hi, Matthias.
Hello.
Chris, we have a special topic today to talk about, namely library carpentry. And carpentries are a topic that we covered here already more often, and I think we can refer to some of the episodes and we'll link to them in the show notes. But before we dive into that whole topic of library carpentry and the carpentries and how all this is connected, maybe we can talk a little bit about you. So what are you doing? What is your background? Why are we talking today to you?
Yeah, so I started off my career with a history background. I graduated from UC Davis, University of California, Davis. And after I left school, I decided I really wanted to be involved with a lot of the web work that was going on. And so I taught myself how to program and joined CNET. Luckily, was able to join CNET. But at the time, it was called MySimon, and it was a comparison shopping site. And there at CNET, I did a lot of data mining and faceted searching. And I think that that job has sort of been a nice stepping point into the stuff that I've done later on into my career in libraries. And so since then, later on got a library degree at the University of Washington iSchool. And after that, I worked for the Supreme Court for a little bit, working with their systems there. And then I spent about 10 years working in astronomy. So not too far away from you, I spent 4 years working at the European Southern Observatory, where I got to work alongside researchers, learning about their data needs. And I think, again, my programming background was hugely valuable at that point. And then later on, I went to the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, where I led that library for about 6 years. And recently, I worked at the North Carolina State University and helping with their research collaboration efforts in the libraries, just helping the libraries connect with the research community. And now I'm with the Carpentries and the California Digital Library, and I just joined as the Library Carpentry Community and Development Director.
This is what I would call an interesting CV. You definitely saw a lot from the field of research and everything that is around there. And now you are with the Carpentries, and we covered Carpentries several times there. We had already talked with Greg Wilson in episode 38. We recently had an interview regarding CarpentryCon, which was the last episode. But still, maybe you can shortly give an overview of what the Carpentries are and why this is a good idea to have them.
Yeah, I think one thing that we're doing more of is just informing our community about the merger between software carpentry and data carpentry. So we often hear people still saying software carpentry or data carpentry, and it's really the carpentries now, and software carpentry and data carpentry have become less in organizations. And so software carpentry really focuses on research software best practices, you know, help researchers with their workflows. And then on the data carpentry side, it takes this practical approach to helping researchers working with their data. And so there are several lessons in there for the discipline. So it even gets into discipline-specific lessons. And then relatively recently, the Library Carpentry formed and is now what we're calling an incubation period. So we're starting the process of merging with the Carpentries. And I think the key points of what Library Carpentry is in many ways, it's sort of an onboarding process for libraries to become data savvy and really help them further learn about the carpentries and participate further. The other part too, I think, is key about library carpentry is the community, and I think that's going to be increasingly important as we grow and we invite more librarians in, because I think libraries just are, because they're so critical to university, to institutions, I think they're the conduit for many things that are happening. And so community is going to be very important to tie those activities together.
I think you clearly showed that library carpentry is an important endeavor, and you wrote actually together with some other people. You wrote a very interesting, what is kind of an opinion paper, where you actually kind of put this all into perspective, right? You had this publication that was, I think, an outcome of a workshop in Pittsburgh. Maybe we can have a rough overview of that. So this shifting to data savvy, maybe you can give a little bit of background about that.
Yeah, this is shifting to data savvy was a result of IMLS, a library grant agency in the U.S., a funded project to understand what were the challenges being faced by libraries, and because one of the things we kept hearing is data science, and that sort of came about from this all happened sort of like years ago, 2013, even before that, I think 2012, about trying to become more data savvy in libraries. And so there were a series of workshops run called Data Scientist Training for Librarians, run in Cambridge at Harvard and also at DTU in Denmark. Those were really these forays into introducing libraries into this world where we should be partners. I think there was this friction at first, and a lot of libraries are sort of trying to understand what role we had to play. That sort of inspired the workshop to think about how can we communicate these needs to management. We saw people going to these workshops and hitting a brick wall after they got back of trying to further their efforts locally. Also there was sort of this pushback of like, how far do we go in libraries? Like, what is possible? And I think, like, really, the report really speaks to, trying to help managers even think about this space. And so what happened in Pittsburgh? We used this most of the grant money to support a workshop to bring experts from across the spectrum, and use that as sort of a way to develop using their the ideas presented there, the feedback to develop a report, which is available. You can search for Shifting to Data Savvy, the Future of Data Science in Libraries. And I think what that report really highlights is I think I did a search of how many times the carpentries is mentioned, and it was mentioned about 38 times, I believe. And so it just highlights the importance of the carpentries, how we felt like that was critical to some of our next steps in libraries and library schools, which are trying to integrate them. And then also, I think some of the other key highlights, besides some of the structural things that that managers could do, and community efforts, we also highlighted some interesting things about making training material more discoverable. It seems to be all over the place, scattered across the web, and that was a critical challenge that we highlight. And then Another interesting was the tensions between PhDs and versus master degree. And, you know, that's what we have in the US. But I also see this happening in Europe, where you have these sort of fellows come in and they have PhDs and are working alongside librarians. And I think there's sort of this tension of some people thinking we should hire more PhDs versus librarians. And, you know, I think the reality is that you'll find that PhDs need more background on this topic of data services as well. And you know, vice versa, same as libraries, they're trying to figure this out too. So we also talked about creating a venue for these conversations to happen. And I think one thing that's been nice is that the electronic resources in libraries has dedicated a track to data science and libraries now. So we're starting in those first steps to integrating this into major library conferences too. So that's exciting. But those sort of some highlights. Again, you know, I think the Carpentries was key to how we can move our staff forward to become more data savvy, and then also to work alongside researchers to provide these services. So,
I think it's a very dense compilation of ideas and also of the problems that in a way can be solved by library Carpentry. I really like to read that, and I think, and I can really recommend this to everybody who is in that field and who sees this change that is currently happening. That maybe, I would say, maybe was there before in sciences, right? This data science is a big topic everywhere, but it also arrived at the libraries, and people see more and more that similar skills that are taught there are also useful for librarians. And this is why library Carpentry is so relevant. So maybe we can have a little bit at the history of library Carpentry. Was there a kind of a big bang when this was started, or was this in different places of the world people thought, hey, we should start with this, and then they suddenly came together? Or what is the development, if this can be tracked?
Yeah, I honestly think that there are lots of people thinking about this. You can describe it as a bunch of little banks everywhere that sort of came together. But I think the first moments where this started to formulate was back in 2013, for I believe it was the second data scientist training for librarians, and I was a very big supporter of the Carpentries before, of software Carpentry. I was tracking it and before I started this training program. And so one thing we thought about for that second data scientist training for librarians was to do a software Carpentry for librarians, so that librarians were sort of prepared for the later lessons that they would have. And so that sort of galvanized a lot of interest. I remember some really big names in Python community and all over the place were interested in why are libraries interested in software Carpentry? You know, why are they interested in this? And that was a really great first conversation about, like, you know, like hearing them say, like, yeah, why, yes, this makes sense, you know, that libraries should be involved. And I think this sort of started, you know, things developing. And one of the other things too is that librarians kept hearing after that, like, it sounds like software Carpentry is a thing we should do. And so I think after that, Greg Wilson kept getting a lot of comments, you know, about doing this for libraries. And I think if you can talk about sort of one of the key moments was, and this is how it's been described to me, is that Greg Wilson met James Baker on a train platform. And James at the time was as a fellow for the Software Sustainability Institute. I think after that was a sort of key moment where James started preparing some of the lesson material for library carpentry. And then it started growing. Other people started getting involved. And another key moment was when Belinda Weaver got involved, and she's a force. She actually took library carpentry to the next level and started really bringing us together, community, I think provided that inspirational aspect of moving library carpentry forward and being really a key member. She's also taught the most library carpentry workshops, so she really is a force. I think we're lucky to have her, to have, you know, James, developing the lessons, and now we're sort of heading on to our next phase, which is to really formalize all this and become a full-fledged lesson organization in the carpentry. So it's an exciting time. And I, from what my vantage point, we're moving quickly. I think all the components were in place pretty much. It's fun to see this be realized into a lesson organization.
I mean, maybe it's my very personal perspective, but I also saw that this is in the recent time gained so much momentum. I mean, maybe also, as I said, I just entered basically this field, and I'm also working now in this library field in a way. But I see so much happening there right now, and in every single corner of the world, people say, "Oh yes, this is a good idea. We want to do this as well." And as you mentioned before, you can build upon the carpentries. So what would you say are the key differences, or what is the key difference regarding material or requirements? Do you find something? Is it just we just have to write for librarians, or do we need deeper, different approaches here?
There's definitely a core component to library carpentry, and I think that's important to sort of onboarding librarians. And there's definitely a textual focus, a text-based focus to how we approach it. You know, so metadata is very important to librarians. So I think that comes through very prominently in our lessons. But I do think that we're also poised to grow in other areas. I think one thing that library carpentry represents is a way to build off the work of others. And you said that earlier, is that think of all these lessons that we develop in the library community that end up becoming siloed, or, you know, just end up being like PDFs that sit on a website that don't really change and adapt. And so there's a lot of potential to make some of these other lessons that we support in libraries available, but it's not just us that are interested in them. It's I think I see a lot of overlap with researchers now. And one of the interesting ones is FAIR data and software. So you were at that with me, Conrad, and you actually taught and I helped. That was an amazing workshop of blending some of the material that, you know, oftentimes libraries would provide to update their community on initiatives, so FAIR related information, but also blending it with sort of the hands-on work, the hands-on learning that happens with R and Python. So we have a great opportunity to share that material in a lesson and then have others build off of it. And so already there are people in Australia that are interested, the ARDC and other Australian libraries are interested in sort of adapting, you know, looking at the material and possibly iterating on it. And then on the University of California system, there's even more people. And I think you'll start seeing more and more people wanting to contribute to that. And then of course there's other ideas, like Wikidata is another one that I think that you're moving forward, Conrad.
Exactly.
And your group. There's a lot of discussion about Python and improving that, you know, for the community. And there's a lot of different things you can do with Python. And especially there's one idea about data privacy in Python, using Python. So I'm really excited about all these possibilities too. And I think that's maybe a little difference with library carpentry, is that we may actually always be sort of an incubator for some of these interesting ideas that sort of straddle, you know, the lines. And so I think that's going to be an interesting trend moving forward. And it's going to demonstrate the value of the carpentries in general, but of library carpentry, where we can collaborate together on lessons and not reinvent the wheel. So I don't know if you may have been lucky, Conrad, to avoid this, but one thing that we do use often in libraries is something called libguides or libguides. And you know, unfortunately, these things are not collaborative. And so you'll end up seeing the same libguide or libguide over and over again in between libraries. And so wouldn't it be great if we shared all this work together? And I think that message will become powerful, you know, as we grow as a community.
Yes, and I think there's a huge value regarding basically the possibility to reuse content. I see this by myself because I started already, I think, some years ago, kind of a small curriculum for people who start working with me. Often, you know, students who have their first intern here, or actually also PhD students who start. And more I'm moving this to, well, just look here at Software Carpentry, or look at this. And I'm trying to move more and more content out there to make it available to more people, and that more people work on this, that I do not have to do this myself anymore. Right? And I think this is something that more and more people appreciate. Hopefully that we have kind of a consensus, a kind of a pool of these lessons that everybody can build upon, and by this is reducing the amount that is spent in total and increasing the quality that is available for all of us. So it's a really good idea. And actually, I haven't thought about library carpentry as an incubator for this, but it's, as you said, this, I mean, it's really like this. You have many more lessons, as far as I can see, than, let's say, software carpentry, which is maybe more conservative. That's the hardcore of things that you need to learn in order to start. And sciences maybe, but there's so much more out there. And if library carpentry can be actually the playground for this in the beginning, that also some, let's say, newer topics, like, as you said, Wikidata or something like this, can be introduced and can be polished, and then can be used maybe by other carpentries or whoever would like to use it. And so I think that's actually really, really great idea, and I love to participate. So a small disclaimer already. Regarding workshops, I think the first ones are dating back to, what was it, 2015 or 2013 already? I think it's somewhere written on the website, but it started later. But I think there is quite a momentum now, and many more popping up right now. Do you know the total number of workshops performed so far?
I'm still learning this because at the moment we know there's been over 70. Wow. So we know that, but I think there are more out there that we don't know about, and that's fine. I think that was part of that sort of discovery phase of trying to figure out what a library carpentry was. And so if you could say the first official date when library carpentry workshops were run after James started contributing lessons was in 2015. But there were a lot of software carpentry for librarians that date back to 2013. And they even date into like 2016 or so, you know, 2017. So yeah, I think that was sort of like the discovery phase of what we were. I think now as we had, you know, as we headed into like 2018, we had a clearer idea of what library carpentry was, but we still have questions about that, you know, like about, I wouldn't say that they're 100% settled. I think things are becoming definitely clearer, And we have a core set of lessons that we sort of agreed upon. And those are, you know, introduction to data and Unix shell and open refine and Git. But there's a lot of variation in what people want to teach. And so I think that's one of the things we had to wrangle with in library carpentry is the flexibility. It's very important to the librarians or to the library community that that we have this flexibility because some of them can't get 2 days off back to back, right? The other thing too is we have local needs. There's so much variability in libraries too, depending on the needs of your institution. So we need to account for that. So we need to be a little bit more flexible, and give that ability to our instructors, to sort of bend to the needs of the local communities. So that's something we sort of decided upon too. Is that, and we had sort of these initial discussions too about, is it a roadshow or is it an express? And I'm so happy that we moved beyond that to just calling them 1 day or 2 day or multi-day workshops, because I think that really is more inviting to people. I think if your workshop is listed as a roadshow or a express, I think some drawbacks to that, right? As a community member, you're running a workshop and your workshop is sort of being distinguished differently. So I think our language is much more inclusive now. It just focuses on the duration. And the interesting thing is that the core of these lessons seem to be introduction to data and Unix shell, of the things that you could teach. What was the real core of a library carpentry? And I thought it was really interesting to hear the perspectives of some other colleagues, and for instance, in South Africa, in their experiences teaching library carpentry, they're dealing with skills at different levels, and sometimes you need to account for less hands-on work and more talking through what we're trying to do. And so, like, introduction to data, it's very important. I think it even takes more time and encompasses more of a workshop there. So the variability is great, I think. And I think it's one of our advantages in library carpentry to have this variability. But we've got to account for that. Like, what do we call library carpentry? What are you getting trained on? Exactly. How do we measure that? The carpentry does a lot of assessment work. And so we've integrated our assessment work with the carpentries now in library carpentry. But, that's something we're going to have to wrangle with, this variability. How do we characterize how well we've done? Where do we need to improve? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. This kind of getting feedback and trying to use that to improve the whole material is key, but it's very hard if you have a rather broad spectrum of topics to cover and people with very different background. And this is another thing, the different backgrounds, and you mentioned this already, the local needs. This is still something I'm kind of struggling with and thought about in the recent time a little bit. While, let's say, in software carpentry and data carpentry, the audience are scientists, and in science, in my opinion, the language barrier is not that huge, because usually people can speak proper English or are used to work even in English. My experience here, at least in Germany, I think, librarians can usually speak or understand English, but they are not so familiar with it that they feel comfortable going to a workshop purely held in English. And this means we will run our initial workshops, at least in Germany and in German, in order to remove that hurdle. Have you thought about this? Are there other people mentioning this issue, or how are you going to deal with this? Or should we basically have direct translations of these things already? So for the lessons that there are also different language versions around, what is the opinion regarding that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We need to do this. So I had some preliminary conversations about this as well. But having our lessons in different languages is going to be helpful, especially let's just say your only opportunity was to go to an English speaking workshop, but you had material in your language available that you could go back to, would be very valuable. The other thing is I have seen people sort of struggle with with English speaking workshops, trying to follow along. And in general, our workshops have this sort of natural tendency of like you're doing stuff on your computer and then you lose track of what's happening. And it's sort of a constant struggle trying to keep up and keep track of what's being discussed. And so if language is a barrier in that case, then yeah, you're going to be struggling. And, I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like for me too. And I would almost imagine I'd be following along and I would stop doing the hands-on work and just try to follow along and see what's happening, on the screen. I've seen people struggle with this and have, a lot of questions in workshops because it's not their natural language. And I think we absolutely need to work on this to translate our lessons into other languages. So, I don't have an answer yet. I just had preliminary conversations. But it sounds like Germany is an opportunity. I one of the other interesting ideas I've heard is that libraries are saying like we want it, you know, maybe some that have been members for a while or people that have been involved in the community for a while are saying, I want to do more now. Like I want to contribute in different ways. And so one of the interesting ideas I've heard is to do, I guess in the carpenters would call it a bug barbecue, but it could be call it a hackathon, where you could host an event to do like translation, or fix other, errors in the curriculum. I think, that could be a way where we sort of mobilize people to help with library carpentry. And it could just be simple. It could be just help us translate this lesson. So
Well, sounds good. And you mentioned this already several times before. I mean, it's about a community. What is the way of organizing? What's kind of the governance structure so far? You have this interim governance group listed on the website, but how is this basically formed? And what is maybe the future direction that is planned for that?
So the interim governance group has been operational since before I started. So I think at the start of the year. But I think those have been sort of key members in the community that have been helping move it forward as well. It's an interim group. So we haven't had an official vote yet for what will be the next governance group. And I don't have a timeline when that will happen. But for the moment, it's the membership is sort of regionally diverse. I think one of the things we might look at is being diverse in different ways with our governance group moving forward. But at the moment, we have monthly meetings and we're talking a lot about sort of the policy side of things, like all the things that the community needs to know about library carpentry. So these are instructors in the carpenters in general. So if I'm a researcher and I want to somehow I'm in an area where there's a lot of interest to do library carpentry, but there aren't any instructors that sort of have a library background, then I'm going to need information to help me understand that community, for instance, the audience, and to get up to speed on how to run that workshop. And so those are, that's like part of it. The other part is sort of communicating outwards to people. What is a library carpentry? So a major one that we looked at. I think that not only do we have the governance group, but we also just formed the curriculum advisory committee. So that's a smaller group of five individuals. And I guess you can characterize that as sort of an interim group too, until we have a more formal vote later on of members, but that is also sort of regionally diverse as well. There's also another thing we looked at was sort of gender balance in the curriculum advisory group. I think we're relatively well represented in the curriculum advisory group, and that just recently met, and they're looking at sort of these challenges of how do we formalize our lessons. So formalizing means releasing it, giving it a DOI via Zenodo through, sort of the GitHub release mechanism to Zenodo. And so that sort of signals to the carpentries that we are serious. We have formalized our lessons and we're providing credit to, we're giving people the opportunity of credit for the work that they've done on these lessons. The governing group had a part in sort of forming that, that group as well. And there's one member on the interim governance group and the curriculum advisory group, a committee to sort of, help with the linking the two efforts. So that's Tim Dennis at UCLA, I guess I'm also a link as an ex officio member of both as well. There's meetings coming forward, coming up where we'll try to align, look at the process of incubation and how we align with the carpentries and what we need to do, sort of those steps. I think that covers what we've done so far in the governance and the curriculum group. So,
mm-hmm. And regarding instructors, they are following the same path as the software and the data carpentry instructors, right? So it's not that you have a separate program, but people can basically, as soon as they are software and data carpentry instructors, they can act as library carpentry instructors, right?
Correct. Yeah. We are doing carpentry's instructor training for librarians, which might be helpful. It provides a little bit more context for librarians. So the next one is in Calgary at the end of August. But hosting those in-person workshops can be, very costly in different ways. A majority of our the training opportunities are going to the instructor training opportunities going to happen online, we've been providing mechanisms for for a number of librarians to start joining those online instructor training opportunities. A recent one that happened was the Software Sustainability Institute. Was interested in sort of supporting library carpentry, and so they were looking at sort of additional slots that they could have for librarians to join next instructor training in October. For part of the grant for the grant that we have is to really bring this is one of the goals, is to bring on 300 instructors in libraries. So that's a very, I think that's a goal that we can achieve.
Absolutely.
But we have some work to do. But that's going to help with our network. I think one of the things that I learned recently at a library conference, Liber or Liber, I think is pronounced in French as Liber, but it's a big library conference in Europe, and the next one is in Dublin and Ireland in, I believe, maybe July, but I'm not certain. But that's going to be at Trinity College Library. And I think that's going to be an important point, too, where we hopefully have the opportunity to host an instructor training ahead of that conference, too, because I heard a lot of interest in library carpentry at Liber, but no mechanisms, really no instructors in Europe that could help with leading those workshops. And so you got a lot of desire, but you have this capacity issue. And I know you were interested in, Conrad, you're interested in helping with that from ZB Med. And I think we have some other people that are interested, like the BNF, the French National Library, has expressed interest in library carpentry, but are still very, very preliminary with that. Perhaps there's interest from the British Library. And, you know, there's just a lot of preliminary conversations about this. And I think what's frustrating is knowing that there's this huge desire to do this, but we have this capacity issue with instructors. And so hopefully we can help with that and relieve some of that soon. And I know another part of that is to have instructor trainers in Europe as well. So for a while, we only had a handful of instructor trainers, but there's been some efforts to grow the instructor trainers as well. So you might start seeing more and more opportunities popping up because of that capacity problem is being addressed. So
sounds good. Yeah, I think I hear it everywhere, and whenever I say we will run something like this, everybody says hooray, can we join? And then said no, unfortunately the space is limited, and you know, there are so few instructors around, and I guess this is really important to address this. And yeah, hope we have more of those instructor trainings basically around and get the pool bigger. Yeah, it's definitely something I would like to contribute as well soon.
Yeah, that's a big task at the moment.
Yeah, so what are the current developments, or what are the future perspective? I mean, maybe you know this ugly question. Where do you see library carpentry in 5 years?
I definitely see it as a lesson organization within the carpentries. So that's something I can confirm. I think by the 5 year period will be really global at that point, you know, like really touching different parts of the world. Right now, we still haven't really been able to work with certain regions like Latin America, you know, like South America is a place where, you know, Central America, places where we really could do more, Asia, you know, there's a lot of work to be done to grow there. And, you know, you heard even in Europe too, we have to bring on more instructors. So I think by that point, we'll really have more capacity, more interest in different parts of the world. It'll be interesting because I think the library carpentry and the carpentry will serve as a network for the open research efforts that are happening. I think it'll be an invaluable network, you know, where we're basically wherever you want to be. So we'll have members, and we'll have such a great, you know, just a nice network to share information about what's happening. And so I can definitely see that on the horizon 5 years from now. And I do think that our lesson organizations will become, our lessons will become more prominent, and you will see libraries are championing the lessons as their lessons, you know, as the lessons they teach to their community, moving away from just creating their own slide decks and or libguides and really contributing to a common lesson, organization. So I definitely see that. I don't see all libraries being a part of that. You know, I think that 5 years is a short time in academia and library land. That's another thing I think you'll see is that it will move beyond just the research libraries. That will be interesting. What other communities will be involved? And I think one that has a lot of possibilities is civic tech. So sort of that citizen science aspect, civic tech, the public libraries in that space. I think another one that has potential is some of these areas like working with archivists and also digital humanities. So I see a lot of interest in developing library carpentry digital humanities material. So I definitely see on the horizon 5 years from now, we'll definitely have a lot more of that kind of material mm-hmm. out there. I think what will be fun too is all the other things are sort of on a part of community that we can grow. So what are the other aspects, you know, besides just the lessons and the like the teaching aspects, you know, like, can we work on open research projects together, you know, as a community? Can we develop things together? And that would be interesting. Like what has happened for years, I think, is that often we do these kind of efforts. I don't know if this is the great way to describe it, but like a city states, you know, we sort of work on these efforts. We know what each other is working on, but we're vying, you know, for our own interests. And I think you'll start seeing the walls coming down as far as like it really is much better to work together and work in the open. And I think that's what's really going to be amazing, is that library carpentry will help with removing some of those barriers, and people will feel more comfortable about sharing their work openly. I think that's what you'll see in 5 years from now too, is that's really starting to formulate to grow.
If people listen to you now and said, great, this sounds awesome, how can it help? What do you tell them? How can they contribute to everything you told before now? What is their starting point?
Yeah, it's really it can be really difficult. Sometimes I've heard that people don't have the institutional support. So how do they get involved if they don't have the institutional support? That's a challenging one. Oftentimes people make that commitment themselves. Individually. So for our instructor training in Calgary, some people have committed their own funds to doing this themselves. It's a shame. I think we need to do better in libraries to support, these kind of learning activities. So I don't necessarily know how I can respond to the those challenges, except for trying to share material as much as possible from other libraries, what they've done to put together proposals, posters, other things like that. So in our governance repository in Library Carpentry, there are folders where we're gathering all this information so that, you know, when these things come up, I can point them to something to help them write justifications. And so that, I mean, that's one thing. There are really a lot of other options. Like if you do have the support or you're still doing this individually, you can go and even start as a helper for a workshop. And that's one good way to sort of get experience or even attend one. It doesn't necessarily have to be a library carpentry workshop. You can, attend carpentry's workshops. And then you can look at the lesson material as well. It's online, it's open, it's openly available, and learn that way. We also have sort of community mechanisms where we're having more conversations, but I wouldn't say they're the best conversations at the moment. we have a Gitter channel. We have a library carpentry lobby in Gitter. And so a lot of this stuff is on our website, which you can go to and look for later. And then we have a listserv, which I thought would be pretty popular, but it hasn't necessarily taken off yet, but slowly started getting people responding individually from the listserv. So the challenge is to get them to respond openly. So we have, I think we have over 100 people on that so far. It's going to be much, much larger. You know, that's one way to sort of get involved too and track what's happening. And you can start contributing to lessons too. Like you can, anyone on with a GitHub account can start contributing to lessons opening up an issue or submitting a pull request. But usually the lightweight way of doing this is an issue. If you're still not familiar with, the process, so you can just ask a question and an issue, and that's a good way to start as well. And you can just reach out to community members. So now we just had a recent blog post on all the workshops that have been done so far, and you can see a lot of names and a map of where people are located. If there's someone nearby, you can reach out to them. You can reach out to me. There's almost too many communication mechanisms. I think all of us will try and help you as much as possible. I have one example that happened recently where a librarian in Chicago area really wanted to host a workshop, and it's been like a thread of just, they had an idea of someone who might be interested, and I helped them reach out to them. It was the Microsoft Technology Center in Chicago. And that person's been very interested in that civic tech link between library carpentry. And so it's just been developing. I mean, that just ask the question. It could take a while to find a way to host a workshop, but just ask the question, we can get there at some point too. You know, it might not happen right away, but we can work on it and find a way to do what you might want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think did I get everything, Conrad? I think I got everything. That was a lot of information. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been my other question. Have you missed anything? Anything not covered that you would like to discuss?
I think I just close with this one big point, which is I'm really excited about libraries not sort of doing this work in at their own institutions anymore, but thinking more broadly and thinking about doing this as a community. And I think there's so much potential for us waiting for us to work together on lessons on all this material. And you know, I think one of the great examples is this software and fair software and data carpentries workshop material that I think will really help propel us forward and thinking collaboratively. So that's one thing that makes me really excited about all of this moving forward.
Which is kind of bringing us a bit back to the publication we talked about in the beginning, because in there you mentioned, I guess, two or three points that kind of resonated with me with what you just said. You have in there the barriers of the brick wall, which probably a lot of librarians used to know or still used to know. Then you mentioned leadership and the incentive structures as kind of those three or three among of a probably wider range of barriers which are kind of preventing data science to take a broader leap forward. Do you think that the library carpentry could take on these kind of barriers inside lesson material? Because as I understand it, this is kind of something that is more or less out of the hands of the individual librarian and more in the hands of the framing organization or the how to manage these projects? Or do you think that this is even useful to address in lesson material?
Well, so we already in the library carpentry material, there's a activity called jargon busting. And, it's just one example of how we, help with sort of breaking down the barriers of talking about jargon that we've heard, and getting sort of context of how that fits in with other things. And, you know, sort of also in the process, just breaking down the apprehension that people might have of learning those things, and first of all, just understanding what they are, and so that, I mean, that's just an example, but in general, just speaking to your question, I've always felt like learning helps break down a lot of barriers when people are learning together. They'll ask those questions that they normally don't ask, because you're all learning together and it's all right to ask those questions. And you know, in more formal environments, you're very cautious and just don't feel like you can do that. And so it's not just, I'm not the only one to think about this, but there are new positions in organizations like Amazon and, other big companies where they're thinking about how they do continuous learning. And so I think what library carpentry presents and the carpentries in general is that sort of fluid opportunity to integrate learning into the things that you're doing. And sort of institutionalize that and say, like, you know, we value learning. We're going, you know, it's one of our services. And besides doing it ourselves and being instructors and teaching, we're also going to be teaching ourselves in this fluid process. And if we see a lesson that we don't, you know, that we want to learn, maybe someone else is working on it, or we can develop it for the community, for the broader community. So vice versa, places can share that material with each other. I think if it becomes ingrained in what a library does, then I think you speak to that problem with the brick wall where people just not enabled to do learning all the time and to spend the time to do this, work, which is, it takes a lot of time to do it. And I think some of the earlier iterations I've seen where managers have joined in these training sessions understand the level of work involved. That's another thing, is just gaining an understanding and helping them sort of understand how this fits into overall strategy. And I think this has been one of those places where you've seen a lot of alignment where, in fact, I've seen it when I've talked to administrators, where it's easier for me to talk to them about these things as opposed to some of the other things that libraries do. You know, there's a huge need for training in research. And I think there's always been this challenge in libraries to try and speak to what else they can do for researchers. I used to work in astrophysics, and that I think that when I first joined in the two institutions that I worked at, some of the researchers came up to me and said, "We don't think we really need a library anymore. You know, a lot of the information that we have is online." And where these conversations improved was around things that the Carpentries does, you know, things that this sort of data savvy work is what really resonates helps sort of bring back that momentum of the library being a critical part of, you know, institutions, infrastructure, and services. So, I think the part about the brick wall is when people come to these workshops, they go back and they just don't have the opportunity to keep doing that kind of work. But again, if you become a member, if you become a Carpentries member, and you sort of institutionalize this, then you realize that this is ongoing work, that it needs to continue, throughout the years. I think you start seeing change that way. The local community for Carpentries in your organization can be a great mechanism for, you know, sort of thinking about locally what Carpentries means and what are the things you need to do, and you know what you can contribute back up to the wider community. So I think those become like this. It's like this community mechanism, you know, to keep the process going. I hope I answered your question, but I think those are some of the things I see.
I think the ultimate question that it comes down to, in my mind at least, is it currently the status where you have librarians telling others what they are able to do for them in order to be recognized and to be included in the planning of future projects, and then have to adapt in to this kind of project initiation writers, where you have all the planning, who needs what kind of budget and who takes on what kind of role? Or is it the surrounding or the environment that librarians are in nowadays that actually other parts of the academia pulls them in, knowing that they, or hoping that they, could take on a certain role which is beyond providing the literature?
Oh, well, it's a combination of both. I mean, really, it really depends on the institution, I've seen some, I've seen direction come from administration to say, you know, well, this is what we want the library to do, you know, driving decisions that way. In general, there's that sort of overarching environment where, everything's changing rapidly. I think there are a lot of people in that space that want to work with libraries. I've seen a lot of encouraging things, statements out there where, especially early career researchers are realizing the value of libraries and including them in conversations and you know, extolling the values of libraries. And I see a lot of support that way. I think they're sort of, those things are working on different ends. It can be a really challenging environment, you know. I think one of the things I heard at a conference recently was a lot of researchers saying, I wish my librarians would do more of this, right? Do more of this work with the carpet trees and do more of this sort of data services work. And I can't get them to understand, you know. I didn't say it at the time, I think it's hard for me to hear that because I'm on the side of, yeah, we're doing it, you know, like there are a lot of people doing it. You know, it's changing. But at the same time, I want to tell researchers that, that it's hard for us, you know, like look at what we have to do. You know, we have to maintain a system that's been around for hundreds of years. You know, it's not easy, right? To maintain that, infrastructure and then just suddenly stop and say, yeah, we're going to be like a startup and we're going to just do all this new stuff. We can't do that. We can't turn on a dime. And I think, you know, researchers have to understand that there's so many things that libraries have to tackle. We've got many arms, you know, like, and there's just so many things that we have to do, that it's very hard to carve out time in our days to do particular things. So, you know, we're trying to update our skills. We're trying to move forward, but, there's so many competing interests. There's so many competing interests to deal with. And I think it's much different when you're in a research lab, right? You have the ability to be a little bit more nimble and research focused, focused on particular things. But in libraries, you've got like patrons from all over the place and interests from all over the place, and you have to respond to all those interests. It's overwhelming. So when people say, "Why aren't you moving fast enough? Why aren't libraries doing this?" It's you know, researchers have to understand that we've got a lot going on, you know, like, and if you want us to move forward, then we could use your help. You know, we definitely want to be a part of it. There's a lot of interest in libraries to help our communities, right? I mean, that's really one of the primary things is that we're sort of this mechanism to help with sort of community needs. So yeah, I mean, I think that's the one thing I've seen too happen is that researchers understand that it's a partnership, you know, that we have to work together. And you know, like it's the libraries and the researchers working together to do something together. This is common wherever you go, is that you have to do things together anyway. So you have to collaborate. So.
And I guess it's the beauty and the real value of the international community building around this library carpentry that you have a lot of people sharing their insights from a very different perspective, not only locally different or culturally different or societal different, but also from a different position that they inherit within their organization or within their part of the academic world. And one thing that I always find fascinating about workshops, be it from software carpentry or data carpentry or library carpentry, is that you usually have or that you often have a central document for taking notes or just sharing some ideas or whatever it is. And once you look through those documents that usually are being created during the workshops, you get a lot of these snippets of thoughts that reveal either the hurdles that people have to face and overcome, or solutions to overcoming exactly what is being a hurdle, or at least what's being thought of as a hurdle. And I think that's, besides the brilliant content of the lesson themselves, I think this is really, really valuable for everybody who's planning to either participate in a workshop, or either asking people who are coming from this library world to participate in a project, because it's the social aspect of the people being put together in a workshop is really, really well reflected within these workshop documents. I don't know how to call them. I always conceive them as workshop diaries.
Yeah, I like that, actually. Workshop diaries. I actually think it's still a challenge for us to really relay what it's like to be in a workshop, what it's like to be part of this community. I think that's probably one of the challenges when you go to administrators to say, let's be members of the Carpentries. And then you see like this language about community, right? It's this great community of people, and I think that's kind of nebulous to some people. Like, what does that mean, community? It means that you can turn to thousands of people to get an answer to a question you've been wrangling with, and then these notes are a really great accessible way to see what's happening. And have these notes in an Etherpad. We use Etherpads. Probably one of the few places that still uses them. but these Etherpads are great. They allow people to collaboratively write notes together, and they're a way for people to go and view them after, if they weren't unable to attend a community call. So, we did this recently with the Carpentries and the Libraries community call that Shelley Stahl from the AGU spoke at about FAIR. And Conrad will be joining us eventually too to talk about
exactly
how he's integrating Carpentries into his work at ZBMed.
Right. Work in progress. and the first Library Carpentry workshop will be run next week.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be in German. I didn't know. That's great. So
yeah, we'll start with German, as said, and then we'll see if we extend it to English as well. First we will try to cover our internal stuff and have some people from outside, and then we make it more and more open to external people. And at some point we have to run, I guess, also English ones. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. No, but I'm really excited to see the lessons in different languages now. So,
bravo. Yeah, we can have one of the suggested hackathons and try to translate them into German. But this is another job. Then let's first get the Wikidata lesson done, and then we can see further. But I've several people with a lot of interest in this around me, and I'm pretty sure that we can contribute to this. And I'm also sure that if other people from the community see what can be done and what kind of steps can be also done with not too much effort, I'm pretty sure that this will grow quickly. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think Cologne is going to be it's going to be a hub of activity. It already is, but it's going to really, for Library Carpentry, it's really going to be a hub of activity. So
that's the plan. Good. Okay. Have we anything else to discuss? Because otherwise I would like to thank Chris for his time. This was really great. And I hope more and more people get inspired now and heard about Library Carpentry. I still bump into people that do not know it so far, but this episode should be part of an endeavor to spread the word a little bit, and hope to get more people aware of it. So Chris, thank you so much. And maybe repeat this at some point where we have a little bit of a progress report and see where we're aiming after, not after 5 years, but maybe a little bit earlier. And then we can see where we're aiming at that point of time. So thank you very much, Chris, and talk to you soon.
Thanks. Yeah, talk to you soon.
Right. Bye, Matthias.
Bye-bye.
Bye.